there's so much work that is done all the time, and most of it is done by the gentleman I'm about to reintroduce, our President Sen.
When I thought about what to say, I had been thinking about this for a while, and it occurred to me that we always focus on legislation, and that's usually a significant part of what I speak to you about. It comes as no surprise to anyone in New York that it's been a difficult legislation done this year. Not only for the National Federation of the Blind, but for every aspect of our government. Whatever our personal opinions are irrelevant, it's just been a rough time in the legislature. And I thought to myself, well, I guess we didn't get much legislation done. We moved it there, but we never moved it across the goal line. So what's really happened? So I sat down to make notes on my presidential report. I generally get about 2 index cards worth of notes. And I guess, well, maybe I won't get that much this year. So I sat down and I said, okay, yes. And I wound up with 3 index cards instead of 2.
Wow.
Which I said to myself when I finished, I said, wow, look at that. That's not bad. We don't have to pass to make progress. We still have active bills in the legislature, of course, and I will remind us all of that, and we will deal with this as part of our business meeting. We have a bill that it moves every year, but it never quite gets to the governor's office. We have quiet car legislation, which we will eventually get passed. We will. It is a life and death issue, the quiet car. Some things can wait. Our safety can. We will get quiet cars done in this state before it's too late for somebody. We also have a blind patient's bill of rights that's pending in the legislature. I just learned yesterday, and we're going to discuss this. This is the first, because it's new to me and new to all of us. The issue is not new, just the movement. I just learned that Attorney General Cuomo has reached a settlement with a lot of the pharmacies in the state to make prescription information and drug information accessible to people who speak foreign languages. So they'll be translated into messages. If you can't speak English, you certainly have a right to know what medicine you're taking. But if you can't read print, you also have a right to know what kind of medicine you're taking. We will be addressing this, if not with the Attorney General, for an agreement with the pharmaceutical industry legislature to put it into law that this be the case, along with the Blind Patients Bill of Rights. We will get this incorporated into that bill come the next legislature. We also have a bill that will increase the opportunities for those in the vending program. Ray C. got smart, left vending, and went back to school. I got smart one time and left school and went into vending. Went back into vending. It's all a matter of where the money. I thought about going into a profession that I really enjoyed but didn't pay very much. So I said, oh, well, you know. You smell the money and sometimes you chase it. Without money, sometimes our dreams can't get fulfilled. So whichever way you go, you chase your dreams. And I will probably say this afternoon again, but I can't remember the Saturday Night Live character who did it. He used to be the baseball guy. BEP, been Betty. Some Saturday night devotee.
Chico Escuela.
Chico Escuela, thank you. Okay. There's always a devotee out there. But the bill that is pending again in the legislature will increase the opportunities for those in the vending program. It will broaden the opportunities for people, for our people, for blind people, to make a greater living. I've also learned of a threat in New York here to the Randolph Shepherd. I won't talk about it now. I will talk about it this afternoon after I have some more clarification on it. But wherever those threats come to the program, there are threats on the federal level, learning of a threat on the state level. We will not allow the Randolph Shepherd program in the nation or the state to be reduced at the expense of blind people. Whether you are the post office, whether you are the Department of Defense, whether you are the Justice Administration outside of the federal government, or whether you are the Office of General Services here in New York, understand that we will look out for the blind people. The Newsline program, however, needs some more. I am not going to try to name all the papers. There was a time I could stand up here and say, we have the New York Times, the Buffalo News, and sit down. I started to name them now. We have all the New York City area paid dailies on. And in addition, I'm going to try anyway. If I left something out, I'll apologize. We have the papers in Albany, Rochester, Syracuse, Buffalo on as well. We also have magazines, listings. The Consumer Protection Board has been added to our local channel. There is a lot of use being made and people signing up every day for the program. We continue to try to expand this program, and like I said, through the legislature, we try to do that. But in the meantime, I'd like to publicly thank, once again, for the continued funding of the department. I promised the commission many years ago, and I continue to promise the commission, that we are going to work on getting legislation passed. So I thank the commission for its patience while we both wait for it passed. If we can get this legislation passed, it will save the commission money and up the Newsline program. But I thank Commissioner Daniels for his continued support of Newsline and his commitment that we will yet have funding for a year beyond this one. In this budget, when people don't make money promises in government, we have a money promise from the commission to keep funding Newsline. And that money promises are huge. There's also inside CBBH, there is the Business Enterprise Program I referred to Shepherd before. And I think we need to just pay attention there. The things I am told in Randolph Shepherd since my retirement have improved. I think they've improved considerably because of the leadership of Peter Crowley. And again, on behalf of the members of Peter Crowley for that. Things change. It takes a while to change an institutional mentality when it grows. I think during what I dark ages of DEP, the morale was pretty bad. I am told the morale in DEP is an awful lot better than it was during the dark ages. And whether he likes it or not, whether he likes to admit it or not, is due to Peter Crowley's influence. So again, on behalf of blind guys in the Randolph Shepherd and blind guys in general, thank you. We have a work in progress in our state. It's referred to as the Executive Board of the Commission for the Blind. I don't know why that last couple of words there, because it's broader authority and broader reach than just the commission, executive board, to not leave anything untouched. If it affects a blind person, it belongs to you. Don't get bought off by the name, Commission for the Blind, in your executive board report. Give yourselves a meeting or two where you can let Ryan and Peter off the hook and hang the education commissioner for a change. Because that the education department of this state deserves public hanging. We get these calls from people now, again, like I said, clients looking for assistance, this choice or that choice. We have some people here today who don't think they got appropriate choice from the commission, and they are free, and Commissioner Daniels and Commissioner Crowley make themselves after meetings off the floor to talk about cases with people. So if after their presentations, preferably the lunch break, there'll be a gentleman in the room I'd really like to hear from. Make them available, please take advantage of their presence here. I would suggest to the commission that we need to work together more to make sure that freedom of choice is really choice. We have choice, we don't have information. And I don't know I'm not going to blame anybody. I just think we need to find other ways and better ways of information to our people so that they can make informed choice and not say, well, this is what you have. I think clients need to understand that there are other options for their rehabilitation that work. The phrase came to me one time, no choice is not choice. Information is not choice. And again, a question from Einstein comes to mind. Einstein had a definition. It was, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. It results. You call computers. How many of you keep tapping the same enter key when it doesn't work? It didn't work. I can sit there all day. Mike just mumbled, leave me alone over there. Mike has probably been tapping that dog on it. Tell you things to work over there. I do feel for that. I do submit that until some new ideas to the rehabilitation system here in our state, we will have a method of rehabilitation. We know how successful that's been. Our 70% of them, our 90% illiteracy rate, all the other unacceptable. We need some new thoughts. We need some new ideas, and we know where those new ideas are because our centers have an 85% placement rate, 85% failure rate. Our schools have an 85% failure. Centers have an 85% placement rate. We need to get some fresh air into this. And I'm not insisting that the commission. somebody is off a program that works and a program that doesn't, I think they can understand that they're going to take the program that works. But we need choice. We will talk about this later, and I welcome later the opportunity to dialogue with Commissioner Daniels about this. I think we can have a fair dialogue. I think on some places we might disagree, and he might take issue with me. I think we're in the same place, a more effective rehabilitation system. And to the extent of effective rehabilitation system, we are going to have the need to make this work. So, like I said, I welcome the opportunity for this. We've been talking about corporate change here a lot. We do through legislation, the change that we do, mission, the change that we got to do with our schools. Those are sweeping changes. You know, each one of us makes change, one person by person, because as an organization, we lead and we go back to our communities and we make that change one by one. It is a New York City school teacher. He teaches 8. And Matt just goes to work. Matt's a blind guy. He works every day and teaches school. Now, I don't think much of that. He's a school teacher. That's a poor phrase. I love school teachers. But the fact that he is a school teacher, the fact that he's a school teacher who's a blind guy is nice. There are other school teachers in this room. There are the social business people in this room. There are all kinds of jobs represented in this room. We say the good thing is he's got a job. And he goes to school every day and does it just about his business. Never knowing that somebody is watching him. One of his students was watching him. There was an essay to write about my hero. And the grade students wrote about his teacher who came to school every day with his dog and doing this and doing that. And then how impressed he was. Now we might say, Matt impressed that young person to the point where this kid wrote an article about my hero and wrote a story that is being picked up by DC where Matt is going to be featured in an article where Superman, so the kid who saved Superman is the name of the story that's coming out soon. I'm sure the whole story has been a long time since I read a Superman comic, but prominently featured in the kid that saved Superman is a blind school teacher because of the Matt's just day-to-day work on this one kid who was impressed enough to write this article. We make these changes, one person by person, sometimes not even knowing that we do it. The Jewish Guild for the Blind is a major private agency in this state. Actually, I was told one time that the CEO of the Jewish Guild said that he had the second biggest budget in blindness in this country next to RSA. That's pretty good. It's a major agency in this country, not only the state. They have outposts here in Albany. They have White Plains facilities. They have a facility in Boston, Palm Beach, Florida. They're a big operation. And I was told, had they built, not a video, a booklet several years ago talking about sighted guide technique. And those of you who were at the 2008 banquet, remember Dr. Mann? And I got a call from Alan about 2 days after. He's got good sources. He said, I understand I got beat up in your president's banquet address. I said, yeah, you did. Yeah. And rightly so. And they talked in a booklet about sighted guide this and sighted. And in the discussion after Dr. Mauer's pointing out the failures in their book, in their brochure, Alan made a brochure. He's going to rewrite it. A video. They've made a video as well of the brochure. And they're going to change a lot of the terminology. And he said to me, this booklet and these videos used to talk about the sighted guide technique. I don't think we need to talk about the sighted guide technique. He said, because Chancey Fleet can guide anybody as well as any other person I know. He said, I don't think we need to use sighted. And guiding is the word we're going to use. We're going to talk about guiding technique. Chancey works for Alan, and she didn't know she was noticed by Alan. But Chancey has influenced the largest agency in this country, short of RSA, in changing some of its attitudes about blindness. No more discussion of sighted guided. The guild is simply guiding. One by one, person by person, we can make the changes. We had the Consumer Protection Board here. How many of you have that press conference? That's kind of neat. They are a state agency. They have a couple of videos telling children and teenagers about the value of money and how to save money and what the money comes from. And they have been working with us with Newsline for a couple of years now. and they have pledged to make their agency as accessible as they can. And what they've done then, as a result, when they were putting these videos together, they called me up and said, how can we make this video to blind kids? And we discussed DVS. They didn't know what DVS was, but we discussed it, and they said, hey, that makes sense. The video that they were doing and sent it off and had DVS applied to it. They have descriptive video, two descriptive videos now that they are circulating not only for sighted students in junior high schools, but now blind students can access the same videos as sighted students. It was a passing contact that got us into developed a relationship, and once again, little by little, step by step, no more leaps and bounds, blind kids are on the same page now. It's nice to see that they expect that our blind children will be spending money as well as instead of taking money. They're talking to them about being consuming and spending. We're getting into the same discussion now as sighted kids are. And the consumer can be commended for that. Those videos are available. The videos are downloaded on the internet, and if technology and duplication works right, Michael, let me know if we can have some at this convention. We get things late sometimes when these things are breaking. We have the master. Whether we'll have will be known later. However, they are downloadable to your own computer at nyconsumer.gov. Consumer.gov. You'll see just what I'm talking about. And we saw some snippets of it yesterday, and some of the kids were really amazed about it. I just think it was. I thought of kids just now. Kids, we're back to kids. We're always going to come back to kids. Because we need our kids. We say that all the time, but it becomes a platitude with us, but it really is true. Our kids need to learn to, I'm going to say this the whole weekend, Braille anywhere. I know some people say, well, he's been saying this for a while. We hear this from Dr. Maurer. We hear this in the monitor. We hear where. When are they going to stop talking about it? When our children read at the same rate as sighted children, the world boils down to money. And now you go, he's talking about money again. When's he going to stop talking about money? When our children perform on the sighted children, I'll stop talking to you about money. Because we can't improve the programs without it. We can't improve the lives of the future children without it. But I'm not talking about your, I'm talking about other people's money. We are selling the Louis Braille coin, which you'll hear more about it. We're selling them somewhere in this room. Where in this room are we selling them? There's a table back there. They're for sale back there. We're going to run some specials later as soon as I can think up one. We're going to run some specials and think up one. Whisper to me. We're going to run some specials. We have coins. I want to go home with coins. I want to get back there and buy more coins. So for sale. Because in December, the United States Mint is going to take coins and melt them down to melted gold. They will melt these coins down and we'll have a bucket of silver instead of these goods. And we will have no benefit because of the meltdown of these coins. These coins are going for an average of $40. That's what we're selling them for at the convention. You have $40. A portion of that $40 will go toward programs for blind kids. Literacy is something we shouldn't have to be, is something we must fund if the next generation is going to have it. As we talk about the coin, I know you will hear more about the coin from Parnell later. And you will hear more from the coin about me every chance I get or every time I remember. We can raise the coin, and if you want to outlay a few dollars of your own to take it home and sell to your butcher, to your guy who does your dry cleaning, to somebody else in your neighborhood, to your cat, to your dog, sell it to somebody. But we need to get those coins out of the mint before it's too late. They're going to be gone. And I'll talk about how we should have. How many times have we said we should have, we should have, we should have? We need to. When? Let's get it done, folks. We can do it. We always do it. Except it takes us a little while to do it. It's taken us 69 years to get to this point. It's the National Federation of the Blind. We probably have about 69 days left to get these coins done. I'm not sure. But we need to get it done pretty quick. It's not far from off. We need to move faster than so. Having said that, a lot of things come to our attention, and people feel these things all the time. Who have to feel them are the people who are on the other end of the email receiving end, on the other end of the phone, on the other end of the question. Those people are the people who back me up every year. Those are the people like Mindy, Mike, Julie, Ray. When I need backup, when they get us just a little too much to carry, I say, here, would you carry this? And they and from them, no. They say, okay. Mike Grohn, but I do appreciate that backup. Another unsung hero fired it 3 times this weekend. I want to thank Linda. This just makes this happen. Before the banquet is over, I will have her teeth marks and my teeth marks on her cheek. But mention it will be fine. And bear in mind, even though to the five of you that I just named, the people who get the most grief from me are the people who are closest to me. I can be nice to people I don't care about. The people we live with are the people who have to see us when our guard is down. And the people you get the chance to be the most honest with. And those are the people I'm involved with sometimes. So for putting up with all of this crap, Lynn, Mike, Julie, Ray, thanks guys. And I did, on behalf of the four officers and myself, it's been our privilege to be folks for these last 2 years. And if you will have us, the five of us will be pleased to do it again. Your call tomorrow, folks. But we would be honored and privileged to do this again. But we can only do it with your help. Without you folks, we preside over nothing. You are the National Federation of the Blind. Not me, not the other officers. We are only five people who have a great job to do, a great job that you've given us, and a great opportunity to change the lives of blind New Yorkers. But we don't have that without you folks. You are that we exist. You are the reason that things change. You are the reason that things are better today in 2009 than they were in 1960. People like Laura and Wilbur and Vinny are the reason they got better then. And if I start naming it from there on, I'm going to leave people out. But through the history of this, things have gotten better because we've been pulling together. They've gotten better because of little change, one by one, and big change on a legislative and on an agency level. Change doesn't always get noticed until years later. But when we look back, we are in much better shape today than we are in the history of blind people in this state. And it is because of the work of the National Federation of the Blind, it is because of the work of you, all of you out there, that this has been accomplished. We are looking forward to a future where our children can read, where more people are at work, where the opportunities are greater, hope is even brighter than it was yesterday. We're looking for a brighter tomorrow, and we can achieve that by working together. So join with me to brighter future, experience this brighter future, and together we can make it all come true. Thank you, and this is my report.